Hey, this is Mauricio Pomela, and you're listening to the True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to a special edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. If you have a comment, criticism, or question, you can contact me at john@truenorthcountrycomics.com. These podcasts are dedicated to the exhibitors who would have participated at the Vancouver Comic Arts Festival 2020. VanCAF is a celebration of comics and graphic novels and their creators, including an exhibition and vendor fair featuring hundreds of creators from around the world. On this episode, I chat with Mauricio Pomela. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mauricio is a visual artist in Vancouver, British Columbia, focusing primarily on communication and ideas. His works include art direction, graphic design, and illustration for digital and print use. Currently, he works for a digital product studio by day and creates his independent comic projects by night. As a sci-fi and technology aficionado, his stories explore human conflicts, relationships, and philosophical problems wrapped into futuristic worlds. So, without further ado, here's my chat with Mauricio Pomela.
So I'm here with Mauricio Pomela. Thank you very much for taking time to chat with
me. You're welcome. You're welcome, John.
Yeah. What I usually do to start the interview is ask about your first comic book. So I'm wondering if you remember, what was the first comic book that you read?
I think the first one that I read was like what my dad introduced to me, which was like, you know, the Peanuts, the Charlie Brown strips. Comic book strips. That's the first memory I have. But I also remember he had his own comic book collection. So he had, you know, Prince Valiant and Flash Gordon. So I remember I was fascinated by, you know, Alex Raymond's artwork. So that was like, wow, what is this? So he gave me Snoopy, but then I gravitated towards Flash Gordon. So
I mean, there's a bit of a difference. I mean, they're both unique in their own style, but
Yes.
Definitely unique, that's for sure. So who inspires you to create your art today?
I think the biggest influence for me was when I was a teenager and I started reading graphic novels. That started with, I think, Bill Sienkiewicz. That was the big name that kind of said, wow, I want to do this. I want to be like this guy. So Bill's work, it still continues to impress me, and I think he's by far the biggest influencer in my life. But then also I learned about Sergio Toppi, Italian illustrator, which has a similar style to Bill, and that was also amazing, a bit more refined with some thin lines. So those two names are the biggest ones in my life. Of course, I love other artists like, you know, Dave McKean, Frank Miller, Dave Gibbons, but I think Bill Sienkiewicz and Sergio Toppi are the ones that are closer to my style. I think my style gravitates towards to those guys.
It's very striking, that's for sure. Sienkiewicz has been very influential on a lot of people. When he came on the scene, he really flipped it, sort of, so to speak, the Arctic style on its ear.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love his work. Electro Assassin, Street Toaster.
Yes. Great. There you go. Good stuff. So I'm talking to you and others with the sort of idea that, unfortunately, Vancouver Comic Arts Festival did not happen this year. So I'm wondering, what were you planning to exhibit at that show?
Yeah, so for me, you know, I'm not a professional comic book artist in a sense. My living is not coming out of that profession. So I have a day job as a graphic designer, and then I do comics on the side as a hobby. Luckily, I'm capable to come up with some short stories. And that's what I try to do. So every VanCAF, it's a milestone for me to create and publish a new short story. So for 2020, I had planned to launch my new short story called Vintage Modern, but also launching Binary Noise Volume 2, which was a compilation of my last three stories. So every three short stories I compile into one more robust book. So I was about to launch Binary Noise Volume 2 and Vintage Modern. Yeah.
Are those books complete now, and can people purchase them?
Yes. So Binary Noise Volume 2 is available at Amazon. So if you just search Binary Noise, you get probably Volume 1 and 2 available for purchase. Yeah.
Very good. Before we chatted, we were talking a bit about your participation in the past at Vancouver Comic Arts Festival. I'm wondering if you have any special memories that you'd like to share with us.
I've been attending VanCAF since 2013. So I guess it's been my my seventh time there. I really liked when sitting next to great comic book artists, like, you know, I remember sitting close to Tony Cliff and really chatting about his experience as a professional comic book artist and dealing with, you know, publishers and the creative process and talking about style. So in between sales and talking to people, we had the chance to talk a little bit about our work and process, and that was great.
Yeah, it's a very unique experience to be in the same room and everyone has a common sort of language, so to speak, that you don't get anywhere else.
They start flipping our books and say, hey, how do you do this, and what's your technique? And then, you know, there's a lot of natural conversation and exchange of knowledge. So every VanCafe is a new adventure, in a sense. You're gonna meet new people, you're gonna be sitting next to maybe some unknown artist, and then, you know, it's always fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to switch gears slightly and talk about your creative process. Now, I know it's different being a graphic illustrator working on a single piece versus sequential art, but I wonder if you could talk through your thought process and how you go from an idea to the finished work.
Sure. Because I like doing the writing and illustrating and lettering and doing pretty much the whole thing, I don't create a script, in a sense, like a professional copywriter would create a traditional script with the description, the dialogue. So I know more or less what I'm going to do. So basically, I try to create a timeline with a middle, beginning, and end, where I will define the intensity of those moments. So where I need to build up momentum, and where the apex takes place in that story, and then when we come to a conclusion. Once I know that map, I start writing backwards. So I know the end, and then I need to figure out a way to achieve that end. Because what I have learned is that, you know, if a hero gets in trouble by accident, that's fine. But a hero getting out of trouble by accident as well, that's cheating. Mm-hmm. So I prefer knowing the end and then trying to do some sort of reverse engineering to achieve that end, right? So then what I start doing is, like, I'll be writing some notes and key points, and I start sketching some thumbnails. So basically the whole story takes shape as a bunch of thumbnails, and then those thumbnails will be my reminders to eventually, you know, a few months later down the road, I know this page, I know this sequence, I know this take, and then I start illustrating based on those. So it's a bit of a not traditional method, but it works well for me. It gives me the structure I need to remember things and go back and create, right? So that's the writing creative process. Mm-hmm. And then there's the artistic process. On that one, basically all my work these days is digital. Mm-hmm. For a series of reasons. You know, by being able to undo things and edit, it's great. It allows me to correct errors and try different colors, different palettes, do some testing, and everything is digital these days. When you need to publish in your blog, or, you know, when you transform that into a PDF file and go to your self-publishing provider. So being digital brings a lot of convenience and advantages over the traditional pen and nib and India ink and paper. So I guess being digital is also a huge factor. And then I start creating my own set of brushes, right? So the dry brushes, the splatters. So I have my own personalized set of tools that I apply to my art, and mainly everything is done in Photoshop. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned before being a graphic illustrator. I'm wondering if that sort of adherence to timing, client demands, do you think that's impacted you in a positive way when it comes to structuring a graphic sequential narrative?
I think so, because my background is in graphic design and advertising. So I remember, you know, storyboarding for TV commercials, or doing print ads, or, you know, newspaper ads. And eventually I started working with digital, and now I'm a digital artist. But I remember all that thing gave me a sense of, you know, how to respect deadlines. Mm-hmm. Also how to create short stories, in a sense. By creating a short story, you don't have much time to, you know, explain things. So it needs to be very intense from the very beginning. So it's almost like creating for a TV ad. So, you know, you need to situate your audience quickly. Something is happening. And what is that? Situate them quickly bring them to this fast momentum, create an apex, and then conclude the message. So that all came from the advertising background. And also, I guess, by designing a bunch of communication materials, that gave me a sense of composition. So I'm doing all the design for my books, the lettering, defining the color palettes, all the scenes, the takes. So and I like when basically creating a page applied that sense of composition. So are we playing with 9 panels, 3 panels? Do we have a clear reading from top left to bottom right? How the story flows and which scenes should be more intense or less intense? So composition, seeing the page as a whole and creating a nice composition, really is really important for me. And I think it's inherent from advertising for sure. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. So you've talked about the books you were going to have at VanCaf. I'm wondering if you have any other projects in the works you can talk about.
So I'm working on my next short story called High Roller, and that's another short standalone story. So basically, by creating my next three short stories, that will be compiled, creating Binary Noise Volume 3. So I'm right in the middle of the Binary Noise Volume 3 at the moment. So yeah, and that's just continuing what people have been reading across all the binary stories. So one short story, you can read that as a standalone short story, so it's self-contained. But if you read all the stories, you realize there's a bigger arc taking place. There's events overlapping and characters overlapping, so forming this bigger arc that I hope soon have the third volume completed. Yeah.
Great. Now, where can people find you online and discover more about your work?
Sure. I have my website, which is, you can go to mpomella, with double M-E-double-L-A, mpomella.com. That's my personal website. And you will see there all my comic book work. You will see a bit of design work and all the digital design and advertising work I've been doing over the years. Also, you can find me on Twitter, so at mpomella.
Great. Yeah. Good. Good. Well, Maurizio, those are all the questions I have. Is there something I didn't ask that you'd like to get across in this interview?
For me, not being a professional comic book artist means I need to self-publish my own stories. And I think if they have an idea and if they want to create their own stories, they should, you know, these days they have all the tools to do that. So, you know, you have the blogs and self-publishing tools and partners. So if you have an idea, don't be afraid. Just go ahead. Just, you know, be disciplined. Establish your own schedule and do that. You know, for me, what I do is like I try to draw my comics at night after all the day job, after putting kids in bed. So that's when I do my night shift on my comics. And it's a matter of discipline, right? So you police yourself, you set your objectives, and you try to be persistent. At the end of the day, you know, you may be able to accomplish something. So don't give up, and if you have something in mind, just go and do it. So don't be afraid, and don't wait for the perfect editor to go after you and say, hey, your work is amazing, because, you know, it never is. I remember before working in advertising, was my plan B, because plan A was to become a professional comic book artist. But I am an original from Brazil. So back in Brazil, there was no such thing as a comic book market. So basically, you could go to an editor, show your portfolio, and they would say, your style is pretty much in line with Image Comics, for example. And then they would then export your work. So you need to be successful abroad before being successful in Brazil. So when I remember bringing my artwork to an editor, they said, you need to shift your style. You need to morph towards Image, or, you know, more Spawn or Spider-Man from McFarlane. And it was in the 90s. And I said, thanks, but I don't want to shift my style. I think this is pretty much who I am. So basically, that kind of destroyed the dream of becoming a comic book artist. But I thought I need to do something related to art. And that's when I started going towards, gravitating towards advertising, where I could storyboard and do my sequential art in another way. And eventually that advertising career led me to Canada, where I've been living now for almost 20 years now. And eventually I kind of rekindled the passion for recreating my comics. And then I decided, oh, I have here the conditions to self-publish. So that's what I'm doing. So yeah, that's in a nutshell my career stories.
Thanks to Maurizio for the chat. You can discover more about Maurizio on Twitter and Instagram at PommellA, and online at mpomella.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to John at TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2020.